The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Night is like Beimer.
Gemara Masechet Yevamos tells us that the reason why we're an egg, Ksas Avelis, a semi-morning period during the time between Pesach and Shavuos, is because a great plague took place. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim that brought light unto the entire world, and a great plague took place, and they died. The Gemara brings they died during this time between Pesach La'atzeres, Pesach and Shavuos. And there are sources in the Chazal that say that the dying stopped on Lamed Gimel Be'emer, which was Yud Ches Iyar. Therefore, we're neig Ksas Simcha, a semi-simcha, on Lag Be'emer, and we stop the period of the Ksas Avelis of semi-morning. We're neig to have chasanas and to take haircuts and so forth. Since this evening is Lag Be'emer, it would be very, very befitting to learn something from Rebbe Akiva, who, the Gemara tells us, that after this happened, in his old age he went, and he taught Torah again, and he brought up five great Talmidim, who again brought Torah to the entire world. Now the first memra, the first instruction that Rebbe Akiva gives us in Masechet Ovis, is in Perek Gimel, Mishneh Yud Gimel. In some Masechtes it's called Mishneh Yud Zayin. Rebbe Akiva says, Schaik v'kalas reish margilines odem le'erva. Falliness, lightheadedness, a person should be careful from, because it brings a person to erva, to immorality, to promiscuity. Maseiris, siyug le'Torah, the Mesoris. We'll explain a little later just what the Mesoris is. The Mesoris is a fence, a guard for Torah. Maasros, siyug le'Osher. When one gives Maaser, that's 10% of his crops he gives to the Levim. Or Tztoko. When a person gives his Tztoko, that's a siyug le'Osher, that's a guard for a person's wealth. Nedorim, siyug le'Prishus. When a person makes vows, that can be used as a guard for Prishus, for abstinence. And siyug le'chochma, shtiko. And a guard for a person's wisdom, a safeguard for a person's wisdom, is shtiko, is silence. This is what Rebbe Akiva has taught. Now Rebbe Akiva was very, very great. So great that he reached such a perfection, such a shlemus, that the Gemara brings him a Masechta Menachos, that in some aspects he even saw things that were not revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, Moshe came up to receive the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tying crowns, tagging ksorim, on top of the letters of the Sefer Torah. And Moshe asked, what are these for? And Hashem said, this is not for you, this is for a person who will live in a later generation, and he will darshan, he will expound all of this, because he'll need this to expound, because he'll otherwise have expounded the entire Torah. And Moshe did not understand these, and the Rebbe Akiva did. Or like the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, when the Rebbe Akiva, who died a martyr's death, he gave his life, allowed the Romans to kill him rather than to stop to learn and to teach Torah. And he said, the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Yotzes Baskol, a voice from heaven came down and said, Ashrecha Akiva ben Yosef she yotzo nishmosa betaro she yotzo nishmosa be'echod. That his neshama went out in total purity at the same time that he pronounced the echod, the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rebbe Akiva had maintained a perfect shleimus, a perfect balance, that very, very few, if any, ever reached. And this was after he had such a late start. Mora tells us, obviously, Reb Nosson, that Rabbi Kiva was 40 years old and he was an Amoritz. He was an ignorant person when it came to Torah. So therefore, when he teaches us Torah, we must give good attention and heed to his words. Schaik v'kalis reish margilin esu odem le'erva. Folliness and lightheadedness brings a person to promiscuity. I'm going to be taking most of what we say from the commentary from the Pirush of the Maral Miprag. In the Mishnah before, Rabbi Shmuel said, "Ebi mekabel es kol odem b'simcha," that you should accept every person b'simcha, with a happiness and with a joy. Now Rabbi Kiva is coming to tell us that even though simcha is a wonderful, wonderful quality, and a person must be b'simcha, and it's an aveira not to be b'simcha, not to be joyous, as it states, "Tachas Hashem lo avaretu as Hashem alakechu b'simcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu became angry at Klal Yisrael because they did not serve him b'simcha." In other words, they did serve him, but not b'simcha. But nevertheless, like everything, it must be in perfect balance. It must not be too far, too much to the right or too much to the left. Must be not too little or too much. And simcha also can be not right if it's not in balance. There's what is known as a simcha yisera, too much simcha, an overdose of simcha. And what is that? That's chayk in kalis reish. That's when a person comes to folliness and to lightheadedness. And that's not good for the person. Not only is it not good for the person, but that brings a person l'erva, to immorality and promiscuity. A person has to be besimcha, simcha hanefesh, that there is something that he should celebrate over. But just to laugh for the sake of laughing, just to be lightheaded for the sake of lightheadedness, this is not simcha. Not only that, but simcha also is an avedas Hashem. As it states that you did not serve me besimcha, the Almighty chastised Klal Yisrael. So we see from here that not only you can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you can serve with simcha. Serving means fulfilling his word, fulfilling Torah mitzvahs. So we see that the type of simcha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is an avedah shebesimcha, where you serve him with a simcha. But if it's just an empty simcha, if a person is misameach, but it's hollow and shallow, and there's nothing to be besimcha over, this is what is known as kalis reish, lightheadedness, or tzchaik, folliness. And this is not the simcha that we're commanded on. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Yontif, in Perek Vov of Hilchos Yontif, Halacha Chof, Kishodim Eichel V'Sheisa V'Sameach Beregel, when a person on Yontif, where there's a mitzvah, a specific mitzvah to be misameach, when he eats and drinks and is misameach on the Yontif, Le'im Moshech B'Yayin U'B'Shaik V'Kalis Reish V'Yemeh She'Kol Mi She'Yesev B'Zeh Yarbe B'Mitzvah Simcha, he should not be drawn into drinking more wine than he should drink, or folliness, or lightheadedness, and think and say that since there's a mitzvah to be misameach on Yontif, so the more wine you drink, and the more you laugh, and the more lightheaded you are, the greater the mitzvah. He says, no. Shehashikras v'hashchek harbei v'kalis haroish eino simcha. Because drunkenness, or shchek harbei, to laugh too much, or to be too lightheadedness, that's not a simcha, ela heileles v'sichlas. But this is rather heileles v'sichlas, this is a folliness This is a foolishness. We weren't commanded on a folliness or on a foolishness. We were commanded on simcha, which through it has in it a service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As it states, Tachas Asher Lo Avadta Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha Tuv Lev Meirev Kol, that you did not serve me with simcha, even though you had so much. Olamadto She'Aveda B'Simcha. So we see that the type of simcha we're commanded on is a simcha that has in it an Avedas Hashem. V'Iyef She'La Avedas Hashem, and it's impossible to serve Hashem, Le'miteich Shkeik, not from laughter, V'Le'miteich Kalis Reish, and not from lightheadedness, V'Le'miteich Shikras, and not from drunkenness. So we have two boundaries. From one aspect, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that Ein Hashchina Shruya Ela Miteich Simcha, Le Miteich Atzvus, Le Miteich Atzvus, Ela Miteich Simcha. That Shchina will only be when a person is with joy, not when he's depressed, and not when he's sad, and not when he's tired or sluggish, but only when he's with joy. And in the Masechta Ovis, in the Men Pches Vorim Shatei Reniknes Mehem, where list 48 attributes that a person needs for Torah, state Simcha. Without Simcha, he will not acquire Torah. But from the other aspect, we have here that it's impossible to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu Miteich Shcheik Miteich Kalis Reish, from laughter or folliness or lightheadedness. So what do we see? We're talking about two different things. Not like many people, they feel that it's all one. There is simcha, and there is chayk. There is simcha, and there is kalas reish. And this is what Rabbi Akiva is telling us. That even though it's a mitzvah to be besimcha, and to be mekabelis kolon besimcha, but like everything, you must have a perfection, a perfect balance. And it must not be an extreme. And if a person is besimcha, but it's not serving the Almighty with simcha, it's an empty simcha, there is nothing to be besimcha over, he's just laughing for the sake of laughing, he's just light-headed because he's empty-headed, that is chayk. That's kalas reish. And that brings a person le'erva, to promiscuity, to immorality. And why is that? That has to do with the shiur that we gave last week. We gave a shiur on the Arayis, and there it was explained that the Arayis promiscuity is particularly linked to the Averis of a goof. The different types of Averis which create a yachas, a link to different sections of the human being. The human being is physical, he was given a body. He's emotional, he was given an nefesh. He's intellectual, he was given a seichel. The arayis, promiscuity, is particular aveira shebeguf, of the physical section of the human body. Taivas aguf. The physical section of the body is the furthest away from the seichel and the neshama. Kodesh Baruch Hu made man offer min adoma, from dust from the earth. Then he blew into him a nishmas chayim, and he received the nefesh, that from here comes all of the emotions of the person, the lev, the heart. He received the brain, that from here comes the intellect of the person, and he received the spirit. The physical body is the furthest from the intellect and the spirit. And when a person loses that intellect to spirit, then he becomes purely physical. And he's similar to an animal. Because what is an animal? An animal is basically physical, without the nefesh, and without the seichel. Now man was given all of these keichos to use them all, but they have to be governed by the intellect and the spirit. If they're not, then he sinks to a level of a behemoth. And this is why we found that these avedas of Erva are called Masi Eretz Mitzrayim. These were the acts of Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim was Besorim Kibsar Chamorim. They were like, their flesh was like flesh of donkeys. They had sunk to the levels of animals. Gemara brings by the Seta an adulterous woman. Chazal states, why is she called Seta? From the word Shota. She'ein ha-ne'if mina'if at she'nichnes ha-boruach shtus. Because what brings a person to adultery? When they lose their seichel. And because as long as the seichel, the intellect, or the spirit, which links to the human being through the intellect, through the brain, is in control, a person won't be driven to arayas, to immorality. But when they lose that, then they're driven to the physical level of the body, and they're driven to arayas. And that's why it's called kisiste, from the word shote. And the Gemara brings that this is why her korbono is saorim. She brings a sacrifice which is barley, not wheat. Because barley is the meichel behema, this is the food of the animal. Because she also saw meise behema. She did such an act. And this is why we mentioned last week that we find that arayis is in particular contrary to Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael is humri, Eretz Yisrael is physical, it's physical land, it's offer, but it's niskadish. It's Eretz HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it a sanctity. And if there's arayis in Eretz Yisrael, so this is contrary to the land, and it states in the parshas of arayis, v'atoki o'oretz, the oretz will reject you, will vomit you out, like it did the nations before. Now, when a person comes to the level of Sheik and Kalis Reish, that means that he loses his mind. That's why it's called Kalis Reish. Kalis Reish means light-headed, foolishness. But there is no mind. That's why if a person is just acting light-headedness, he's just laughing, and what we would call it sonesh, for no serious reason. There's no reason for him to act like this. What do we call this? So we refer to this as a maise ksil, or maise sheitim. He's acting like a fool. Somebody goes and jumps around, and there's no reason why he does it. He's acting like a fool. Or it's nonsense, you call it. Or you say he's acting like a child. Why? Because an adult has a seichel. And here he's acting without seichel, he's acting without mind. This level is when the person loses his mind. That's why shikras can bring to Sheik Fekalis Reish. Because a person gets drunk, what happens to him? The wine affects the mind, the brain. It's the first thing it affects. It affects the brain, so he can't think anymore. So he's Kalis Reish, he's lightheaded. He's lightheaded, so he comes to child play. What you would call this child's play, or nonsense or foolishness. He's acting as a fool. This is what the Gemara refers to as a Maisa Ksil, or a Maisa Shaitin. So if that's the case, then he falls into the control of the physical man. If the seichel is not working, he falls into the control of the physical man. And if it's the physical man, from here comes Averi Shebeguf. So therefore, it will bring a person to arayis to promiscuity. That's why Rabbi Kiva said that simcha is from the greatest madregas, but you must be careful that it's simcha and not a simcha yesera, a something which is not simcha. Tzchayk v'kalas resh. Why? Because they will be margilin aso odem le'erva. They will bring a person to arayis. Then Rabbi Kiva gave us four siyogim, four types of guards that we must build for ourselves, that we must guard our Torah, we must guard our wealth, we must guard precious abstinence, and we must guard our wisdom. What does this mean? A man in this world has dalet kinyonim. He has four acquisitions. Now, man is not like other creatures that are born pretty much well prepared, and even when they are mature, they're not much different than when they were born. But man is different. Man is born totally empty. And during his life, he grows and he matures at Ein Sof, to no end. We once mentioned that why is man called Odom, Al Shem Adoma? He's not given his own name. He wasn't even given a name by himself. He was called Odom because Mina Adoma, he came from the earth. And every animal, Odom looked at and gave him his proper name. He looked at the lion and he said, "You will be called an Aryeh." Looked at a wolf and said, "You will be called a Zev," because he saw that this is the name which best describes the essence of that animal. So why wasn't there a name given to man that best describes him? He was given the name Odom merely because he came in Adoma from the earth. So this the Maral says in various places, because an essence is what a person is, or what a creature is. You can look into the eye of a lion, and if you have the wisdom of Odom Arishon, you can say exactly what that creature is and give him a name that so describes it, Hashem Meiral Etzem. But if you look into man, no matter how wise you are, you will not be able to give him a name which describes his essence, because his essence depends on what he will do with it. Because he is born totally immature, imperfect, and he's given a lifetime to grow and to mature and to perfect himself. So then how are you going to give him a name? Therefore he was given the name Al Pi Adoma, from the earth, because the earth is also like that. The earth is there for you to work in. What will it be? It will be what you do with it. The earth can be mud, it can be a desert, it can be a garden, it can be the most beautiful garden. Depends what you do with it. And that's why it states by man, ir pera odem yulad. An ir is a young donkey. That man was born like a wild young donkey. Orum ibetanimai. He's born from the womb of his mother totally naked and with nothing. Physically, he's not mature. He's born without, he doesn't own anything. Mentally, he's not mature. Emotionally, he's not mature. And his life is to acquire acquisitions for himself. So there are four major kinyonim acquisitions that man has in this world. The greatest is the Torah. Kinyan Torah. The acquisition of Torah. And that's the keser, the crown, which is ol ha'kulin, which is a greater acquisition than everything. Then there is his ma'asim tovim, his deeds. Deeds do not come to a person by themselves. This is something that a person has to work on. He has to work hard. And his ma'asim tovim are his deeds, are his acquisition. Then there's his wisdom. Actually, the wisdom we should have said before is Ma'asim Tovim. His wisdom and his knowledge. A child is born, he has no seichel. He has no intelligence. Or his intelligence is very, very limited. He can't talk. He can hardly see. He can't understand. He can't read. He can't write. And all through his life, he develops his intelligence. And there is his, then his Ma'asim Tovim, his acts, and his wealth. It's another acquisition. So there are four acquisitions that man has in this world to acquire: his Torah, his intelligence, his good deeds, and his wealth. And since each one is an acquisition, something that he acquires, he was not born with. So if it's something that you acquire, it means it's something you can lose also. If you, it was born part and parcel of you, so it's part of you. But since you were born without it, and it's an acquisition that came to you later, so it means that it's not totally part of you, where it's inseparable. Therefore it means you can lose it also. And the Rebbe Kiva is instructing us, you must be very, very careful with these acquisitions. They need a siyog. They need a shmira. They need a guardianship. Otherwise, you'll lose it. And first he starts with Torah. Why does he start with Torah? Because that is the most difficult acquisition to acquire, and it's the easiest to lose. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Chagigo, the Gemara says, in Tesvova Mar Aleph, what does it say? Why does it say that Torah is kosher liknos, is as difficult to acquire as kesef zov, gold and silver, and it's also like schuchis, like glass? So the Gemara answers, because it's as difficult to acquire as gold and silver and precious stones. You want to get gold and you want to get silver and precious stones, it's nothing that you find wherever you go. You have to look far and wide for it. You want to dig for precious stones, for diamonds and for gold, you have to go miles into the earth. So it's Torah as difficult to acquire as gold and silver and precious stones. And it's as easy to lose as schuchis, as glass. Mora says, you want to throw out your money, buy kli schuchis, buy glassware. It won't last. At least gold and silver and diamonds, they're difficult to find, but once you have it, they won't break. Glassware is easy to find, but it's easy to lose. Torah has both shortcomings. It's the most difficult to acquire, and it's the easiest to lose. And why is that? Because it's very far from the person. It comes from the Olam HaElyon, from another world. It preceded the creation of this world. It's way above the person. And therefore it's so difficult to acquire, and even when the person acquires it, it's still far from him. And that's why it needs a siyug. That's why it needs a shmiro. It constantly needs a guardianship. Now what is the siyug? So he brings the siyug, is mesoris. What is mesoris? Many times the word mesoris is used for the Kabbalah, the tradition that the Torah is handed down in. Rav le Talmud, Rav le Talmud. And that the Maral says that he doesn't feel that that's what Rabbi Kiva means here. Because even though it is 100% true that without the Kabbalah, the generation after generation of teaching Torah, Rav le Talmud, Rav le Talmud, if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have Torah. Because Torah would be forgotten. If we tried on our own to study Torah without any instruction from the previous generations, who received instruction from the previous generations, we would come to all types of distorted interpretations and explanations of the Gemara and Halachos and so forth. But he says that's not what Rebbe Akiva means, because that's not a siug l'Torah. The Kabbalah is not a guardianship to Torah. That's gufa Torah, that's Torah itself. This that we have, the Kabbalah, the teaching of the Torah from one generation to the other, that's Torah itself. So then what does Rebbe Akiva mean? He means Mesoras siug l'Torah. He's referring to a Gemara, where the Gemara brings in the Dorim Lamazayin Amud Beis, by Yavinu b'mikra ele psuki ataimim v'amri le ele ataimim, that it brings that the Mesedis, like we have in the Gemara, yesh aim le Mesedis. The Mesedis was the tradition which taught us, in the, for example, the Tereh Shebichsav, in the written Torah, how many words were supposed to be written mole. Sometimes you can write a word with a yud or without a yud, or with a vav and without a vav, and would have the same meaning. How many words in the Torah were supposed to be written with the yud, and how many without the yud? How many with the vav and how many without the vav? In a similar Gemara, the Gemara brings an Ervin on Nundalad Amad Beis. Omar Reb Chisda in a Torah niknes ele b'simonim. That Torah, when it comes to Torah Shebal Peh, we found that it was the way of the early Tanoim and the Amoraim that they used to make all kind of simonim, all kind of signs and symbols by which to remember the Shmuas, by which to remember the Gemaras. We don't find that too common today, for the simple reason is because in their days they didn't have the Gemara written down, so you used to have to memorize it. So they used to make symbols to remember it. Every once in a while you'll come across in the Gemara some symbols, and that's referring to the symbols they had to remember it. So we don't do that too much today. But it's an error. Because even though we have the Girsa, we have the Gemara written down, but it's not only to remember the Girsa, the script of the Gemara, but it's to remember all of the Halachos. And if you will examine, you'll find that this was the way of the Mishnah and the Brises and some of the great Rishonim, such as the Rambam. For example, very, very common in the Mishnah and the Brises to number things. Like we have in Baba Kama, Arba Ovis Nezikin. There are four different categories of damages. Then the Gemara comes along and says, the Rabbeisha says, Yud Gimel, Ovis Nezikin. There are 13 categories of Nezikin. Then the Bchia comes along and he says, Chov Dalet Ovis Nezikin. There are 24 categories of Nezikin. What are they numbering them for? Because through the number they gave it a structure. It wasn't that they're just Nezikin. There are four definite avenues in the Zikin, and by structuring it and remembering four, they could remember which one. Or there are 13 definite avenues, or 24 definite avenues. And this is the Mishnah, and the Brises are full. For example, we learned last year Masechta Yevamos. That Minyona Lemeute means there are four and no more. Dafke four and no more. The reason why Minyona Lemute is because if he just said there are so many Nezikin, that means there could be more. See, there could be more also. So he's not counting them all, he's naming some. So there could be more. But when he said the number, so he's telling us there are these many and no more. The Mishnah in Masechta Yevamos, Chamesh Esrei Noshim, starts with 15 cases of various women in regards to the mitzvah of Yibum, and starts to name off 15 different cases. We have a Masechta Mishnah in the beginning of Masechta Mikvos, which states Sheish Milas B'Mikvos. There are six different levels to a mikveh, and starts to go through all of the different levels. Or we have, for example, in Masechta Negoim, Maris Negoim, Shnayim, Shein Arba. The types of appearances of a nega, of a tzaras, of this leprosy that the Torah deals with, are two, which are subdivided into four. And the Mishnah and the Braisa are full. And the Rambam consistently follows that method. The Rambam breaks, qualitatively breaks all of the Torah into 14 books, and each book he subdivides again. And he says how many chapters there are, and how many halachas there are, and how many mitzvahs there are. And when he starts to again talk about it, he breaks it down. Now these are all the various simonim to give Torah a structure. Because the Torah is such a vast area of wisdom, of Chokhmah. And not only is it so vast, but it is so deep and so much above the person that it needs a guard. It needs a structure to safeguard it. Otherwise the person will lose it. Actually, there's a Gemara that says, why were the Tanoim called Seferim? They were called Seferim, the Divrei Seferim. The Gemara says, why were they called Seferim? I think the Gemara is in Masechta Kiddushin. Why were they called Seferim? Because they were constantly counting. They were always counting. Right? Fact is, if you look at the end of each parsha, and they say of the Sedras, they have how many words are in that Sedra and how many psukim are in that Sedra. But they were counting for a purpose, because through this it structured it for them. And they divided it and subdivided it, and they can remember and they saw. But Rav brings, what uses the Loshon Siyun? In one, what is, it's like a, if you don't have a map, so everything is totally disorganized, everything is totally confused. But if you have signs, then it starts to become organized. So this is what Rabbi Kiva is telling us. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ishchar be'al yerechai mipachad ba'leileis, that every man by Shlema HaMelech stood with a sword on his thigh to guard against the fear, the terror of the night. So Rashi brings a drosha, Kli Zainoi Hei Meseiris V'Simonim Shemamirim Al Yod Mesagir Seshle Ishtakach. The weapons refers to the simonim, the signs that and symbols that a person makes, the fear of the night, that refers to the shikha, so he shouldn't forget it, because they light up the darkness. So this is the first kinyan, the first acquisition, and the first instruction that Rabbi Kiva is telling us in regards to a fence. Build a fence around your Torah. When you acquire Torah, whatever you acquire, guard it carefully. And constantly think of ways. Actually, the Sfardim are very rugged in this. The Sfardim do this often. They have symbols for everything. We used to have Rabbi Cohen, who used to be the rabbi of the shul here. He used to come up for the shir on Shabbos. And there was hardly a Shabbos that went by that I would mention a halacha or two, and he would tell me what the Sfardish symbol was on it. They always had a symbol for everything, how to remember. Then he tells us, I'm just wondering, could you open the door a bit maybe, if it's not too drafty. Then he tells us, Masro Siyag Lo Esher. Now the next acquisition a person has to be careful of is his wealth. Why? Because of the other acquisitions, the wealth of the person's wisdom or his deeds, the wealth is the least part of him. At least his deeds become part of him. His intelligence becomes part of him. But the wealth doesn't. That's something b'machutz, that's something exterior. Actually, there's a Mishnah, the last Mishnah Masechta Ovos, that states that b'shor shemalavin es ha'odam. When a person dies and he leaves this world, so what goes with him? It says, Le'akesev, Le'azov, Shalei, Le'magolias, Le'avonim Tevis. Not his gold and his silver and his precious stones, It's Torah and his deeds. What does that show? It's not a real part of him. Because he leaves it behind. If it was a real part of him, he would go and go with him. And therefore, if the wealth that a person is given, he has to guard. Because therefore it can become lost very easily. Since it's not that strongly attached to him. And like we see, the Gemara says, Zuzi, a coin was called in Hebrew a Zuz. Why was it called a Zuz? Zuz means it moves, because Zozin miyoda liyoda moves from one to the other. And therefore Rabbi Akiva said, people have to do something to guard their wealth. What should they do? He said, Maser. They should give a tenth to Tzedakah. And that's the greatest guardianship of a person's wealth. There's actually a Gemara in Masecht Ksuvos that we've brought before. A Maisa with Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, who was traveling with his Talmidim. And he came across a woman, and she was trying to take the straw out of the dung of the animals that belonged to the Arabs. This is how poor she was. And when they came close and she saw Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai coming, he was the Godel Hador, she stood up and she said, Rebbe, don't you remember me? And he said, you didn't remember? She said, you were at my chasana and you signed my ksuba and you read off my ksuba. And he says, you're the daughter of Nagdiman ben Gurion. I remember you. Nagdiman ben Gurion was from the three most wealthiest people in Yerushalayim before the Churban. These were multi-millionaires. And he says, I remember I read your ksuba, that a ksuba of 1,000,000 gold coins was being given. Your father was giving to the chosen. 1,000,000 gold coins. Elef alofim. Din reizor. So he says, what happened? What happened? So she said, my father lost all of the wealth. All of his wealth, all of my husband's wealth, everything was lost. So, the Gemara brings, Hainid Amri Inshay. I think she said it. This is what people said. Melach Momen Chosar. You want to salt your money? How do you preserve meat? Especially in those days, they didn't have refrigeration. They used to salt it. They would salt meat heavily, and this would preserve it. You want to preserve your money? The way to preserve money is not in the stock market. It can crash. Not in the bank. Inflation can eat it up. And not in real estate. Property can go down. You want to guarantee your money? Then chosar. Then give it away to tzedakah. Chesed. Yeshem chesed. Do chesed with it. That is the only guarantee for your money. The Gemara brings, but Nachdimin ben Gurion did chesed. It says when he used to walk from shul to the Beis HaMedrash, after shul he would go to the Beis HaMedrash to learn. His servants would put out expensive Persian carpets in front of him, so he wouldn't have to walk in the street. And he would tell his servants to leave it there so the poor can come and take it. This is what he did all of the time. It said, Lefigam l'shachna, that how much of a burden do you put on a camel? Depends on the strength of the camel. If it's a small camel, you put a small burden. If it's a big camel, you put a big burden. The burden of tzedakah that he undertook was not in accordance to his strength at all. Even though he gave tremendous amount of tzedakah, but for him that was nothing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look at what a person gives, but he looks at what the person is capable of giving. So the only guarantee, Rabbi Akiva said, the only guarantee that a person will keep his wealth for he and his family is masrus, if he'll give tzedakah. And why is that? Because when you give a portion of your money to the poor, to the needy, and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's
for the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the same as giving it to Hashem. And if you give it to Hashem, then you bring your wealth close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it all becomes Mizborach. It all becomes blessed by Him. And He's the source of preservation. He's the source of guarantee. Who can guarantee HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's the only guarantee. So the object is to bring your wealth close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So He'll guard it for you. If you give a portion to Him, it's as if you're bringing your wealth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He will guard it. And why a tenth? Because 10 is the number which unifies. In mathematics, and certainly in the Hebrew counting, but in the counting, I would imagine, of all mathematics, or at least most mathematics. So pratim are 9. Individual numbers go up only till 9. And then 10 unifies it. You have 9, and then 10 is one unit. You have another 9, and then 20 means 2 units. Another 9, 3 means 3 units. 100 means 10 units. So 10 unifies it. So if I give 1/10 to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is one portion, then that'll unify everything that I have and tie it all together with Him. And therefore, I'll receive the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Akiva is saying that Aisha brings that the reason why, this is the reason why Asiri, a tenth, is the same word as Aisha, is wealth. Because it guards one's wealth. The third kinyan that a person has, acquisition, are his masim tovim, his deeds. Now this is very interesting. When a person is born, he is not born with good deeds. In general, we should know that good deeds are contrary to the nature of the person. A person is born, it says, ki yetzer teva odom ra min urav. A person is born, ki yetzer teva odom ra min urav. A person is born with evil in his heart. Yetzer teva odom ra min urav. And the Gemara dashes min urav mishaninar. Once he moves to come out of the womb of the mother, the Yetzer Hara goes in. Mother brings the Yetzer Tov, doesn't come until he's 13. That's why we can't hold him responsible for Averis until he's 13, or a girl when she's 12. But the Yetzer Hara comes in the person the minute he's born. Zeya HaKadosh brings, asks the question, says that if you put a newborn animal, put him next to a fire. What will that animal do? Run away from the fire. Take a newborn child and put him next to a fire. The child will put his hands in the fire. Why is it? An animal has less seichel. Take any creature, put him next to a fire, even if he's newborn, he'll run as fast as he can. Child will put his hands in the fire. We build fences around the swimming pool so a child shouldn't fall in. We don't build fences around the swimming pool so the dogs and the cats or the pups and the kittens shouldn't fall in. Because they have seichel. What even they have seichel? So Zaya says, because Yetzer Leva Odom Ramin Urav. From the instant the child is born, the Yetzer Hora goes into the heart of the child. And the Gemara says, the Yetzer Hora is evil to where it tries to destroy man from the time he's born. And the Yetzer Hora wants him to put his hand in the fire. That's by a person, not by an animal or by any other creature. Now, a person doesn't have a Yetzer Tov until he's bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah. That's why the Yetzer Hora is called Melech Zoken Uksil, an old king, because he's older than the Yetzer Tov. And this means that if a person, Lefi Tivoy, if a person would follow his nature, he would constantly do things wrong. Like a child. A person follows his nature, is constantly doing things wrong. Except man matures, and he grows, and he develops to do things right. But this that he's doing things right, this is not natural. This is rather through the breaking of his Yetzer Hara, or through the precious, through the removing himself, abstaining from the desires of the Yetzer Hara. A person is born, he's a little boy, so he loves sweets. Let him loose in a candy shop, and he'll finish off the candy shop. As he grows, so his seichel tells him that that's not right, and in the long run he'll pay for it. So he, with discipline, and with practice, and with labor, he learns how to live with his Yetzer Hara and not succumb to it. That's Prishus. Prishus means to move yourself from the hand of the Yetzer Hara. And that's Masim Tovim. These are his deeds. So any deed that a person has that's good, that's his acquisition. That's not something that came by itself. That's his. Because by itself is not that way. And this comes only through hard work and labor, and this is precious. Now the Bikiva is telling us that this is an acquisition, but you have to be careful of it. Even though a person has developed himself to do good things, he can slide back very easily. So therefore he must be careful. So he says, Nadorim siog leprishus, a very good safeguard to remove yourself from the Yetzer Hara is Nadorim. Mora brings, for example, a Nozir. A Nozir, what's a Nozir? A Nozir is someone who felt that he's falling into the hands of the Yetzer Hara. He's coming totally overpowered with the taivis, with the desires of this world, with the desires of wine and other. Now, the normal person, what should he do? The normal person should just discipline himself and say, look, draw a line for himself. This much I'll drink and this much I want, and after that I won't drink. This much I'll do and after that I won't do. But sometimes a person can't do that. So here comes the parsha of Nozir and Bedorim. Nozir is an eder, where he takes a vow that he'll totally separate himself from the Yetzer Hara. And he won't drink wine or anything, even a grape he won't eat. But the Gemara brings a case where David HaMelech said, David HaMelech said that he said, Eshba v'akayma, v'akameno, that I'll make a shfua to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'll undertake to do this. Person has a great thought to do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he takes a shfua that he'll do it. Moses says, why is a shfua necessary? Zeh nedo godel Hashem v'zruzei is Ruzei Nafshe, as an extra inspiration, as an extra push, he takes a shvua to do it. Now, what is this? We're speaking here in the lines of self-discipline. For example, in every day, see, people sometimes have difficulty if they take one glass of whiskey. It leads to a second, it leads to a third. So he has to discipline himself. He has to either say, I'm not going to drink at all, or I'm going to drink one glass and that's all. A person constantly fights with himself about overeating. So he has to discipline himself. I'm going to eat this and that's all. Sometimes people have difficulty eating the wrong foods. And if they eat a little, it leads to more. So they have to, in order to succeed with themselves, they have to say, I don't touch it. I don't touch it. I don't touch cigarettes, because then I smoke too much. I don't touch sweets, because then I eat too much. I don't touch cold drink, because then I drink too much. And so forth and so on. Or a person, these are human weaknesses. This is the Yetzer Hara. A person finds that he's wasting his time with nonsense. Sits down to look at the headlines of the newspaper, and then an hour later he's finished. Or he starts to read a book, it's nonsense, and the whole night goes away. And so on and so on. So this Rebbe Kiva is telling us, Nedorim siog leprishus. A person has to make strong lines with himself. Otherwise, the Yetzer Hara will gain control. Now, actually, in the later Doras, many of the Achrenim bring that we should be very careful for Nedarim. We shouldn't make Nedarim. Why? A Neder is good to make to bolster yourself, to stay away from the hands of the Yetzer Hara and keep the Neder, then it's very good. But what happens if you don't keep it? Then the Aveira is 100 times more, because it's a very, very severe Aveira to make a Neder and to transgress it. So therefore it's brought, we must be very, very careful about making the Dorim. That's why many people, no matter what they do, they say B'li Neder. If they say, oh, I'm not going to touch this again, they say B'li Neder. Because if they do, and it's a Neder, it's a very severe Aveira. So we must be very, very careful not to make the Dorim. But the principle is there. The principle is that Prishus, Maisim Tovim, to stay out of the hands of the Yetzer Hara in order to do good, to do Maisim Tovim, this does not come by itself. This is a kinyan, an acquisition, and this comes only through enormous labor. And just like it comes with difficulty and it's an acquisition, it can be lost. Therefore, a person must be always careful not to fall back into the hands of the Yetzer Hara, and therefore he should always draw lines for himself. If it's something that he cannot compromise on with the Yetzer Hara, then he has to draw a gvul and say, I don't come close to it. Discipline himself on it. That's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. You need a fence, you need a guard. Otherwise, your Maisim Tovim will become bottle. See? They'll become lost. The fourth kinyan is a person's intelligence, his wisdom. And the siyog, wisdom also has to be guarded. And the siyog l'chokhmah, a guardianship for wisdom is shtika, not to talk too much. The Gemara always says, a person that talks too much, that's a sign he's not too wise. A person who's quiet, that's a sign of wisdom. Ksil yechoresh, chochem yechoshev. A fool remains silent. People can think he's clever. Berev dvorim lo yecht al pesha. You talk too much, then it's impossible to keep away from Aveda. The explanation in this is because even though speaking is the wonderful, wonderful attribute of man, but like anything else, it has to be in balance. Don't talk too much. Speaking can be done only with a physical body. You can only talk with a physical mouth and a physical throat and voice. Speaking must come through the physical avenue of man. Wisdom is totally abstract from the physical man. And both are counter to each other. If a person is talking too much, he cannot think. Thinking, he has to be silent. That's why when people are in deep thought, people who are in deep thought and lost in thought, you don't find them talking. People who are talking a lot are not thinking a lot. The Gemara brings that a person, when he gets older, becomes wiser. This doesn't mean that a person who's a fool in his youth will all of a sudden become a brilliant person in his old age. There's a young fool that can grow into an old fool. Doesn't mean that. But what it means is a person who labors in his youth in wisdom, in his older age, he will understand even more. A person who achieves in his youth, he'll achieve more in his older age. A person pursued wisdom in his youth, but he had difficulty understanding certain things, in his old age, he'll understand even more. Now, a simple reason is he gains by experience. An older person has a a fortune, a wellspring of experiences. But there's another reason. Because man is this dual personality where he's made up of dust from the earth, physical, and he's given an intellect. Now these are counter each other. The youth, when the physical keches, the physical powers are at their peak, so therefore the intellectual powers are weaker. When he grows old and the physical powers start to weaken, the intellectual powers become stronger. So a person who was wise in his youth will become even wiser in his old age, especially about Talmidei Chachamim. Mishnah says Talmidei Chachamim are like yayin. Talmud Chochem is like wine. Kol zman shemaskinim chochmason, as long as they get older, the chochma adds, additional wisdom comes to them. It's a great misfortune that our generation today in the West do not understand this. When a person gets a little old, they set him on the side like he's totally irrelevant. He doesn't know anything about what's happening today. See? And it's a great misfortune, because the Gemara says, "Oy, how unfortunate is the generation that the youth lead the generation." It says that if you want to take advice from an old person, that's like drinking yain yoshim, that's like drinking old wine, which is matured and which has a tone to it, a taste to it, a balance to it. If you want to take advice from the youth, it says that's like drinking yain chodosh, wine which has not matured yet, which is kosher l'shinayim, which burns the mouth and the teeth, which is like sour grapes, vinegar. And unfortunate, this is the Western world in many parts, that a person becomes a little older now, what does he know about computers? And what does he know about spacecraft? And what does he know about the jet age? See? So he knows nothing, and they set him on the side, totally irrelevant, and try to convince him to go off to an old age home. And the young people take over the shop, and we see the type of world that we have. It's not true. Whenever you have an opportunity to learn from an older person, take that opportunity. He has a great, great deal to offer, and many times he sees things much clearer than the youth do. So is it in the person himself. If the physical is working full force, this minimizes the intellectual. And therefore, if a person constantly talks all the time, which is physical, he's minimizing the brain function. If he's silent, then he's giving his brain a chance to come into its own. Like we have another mission that says, Le'motzos yutev leguf kishtiko. I found the best thing is shtiko, silence. Therefore, a person has wisdom, he should learn not to talk too much. Listen better. Be from the listeners rather than the talkers. And that'll be a siog l'chokhmah. So this is what the Rebbe Akiva taught us. This is what the Rebbe Akiva taught us on this evening of Lag B'Omer. First of all, he said that even though simcha is from the greatest levels, but everything must be perfect, must be in balance. And a simcha yaseira, an extra simcha, a superfluous simcha, that's chayk v'kalas reish, that's an emptiness, that's a folly, that's lightheadedness, that's lack of seichel, that's not avoda. It has to be a simcha where you serve Hashem with, and that'll bring a person to erva, to promiscuity, because he's lacking the seichel that'll bring him to the physical levels of man of promiscuity. Then he said that a man comes into this world naked, without anything. And he comes in like an ir pera, a wild young donkey. Everything that he has to develop. And during his lifetime, he has four great acquisitions. But these acquisitions, not only do you have to work hard to get them, but you must safeguard them, otherwise you lose them. The greatest is Torah. And siyug la Torah la meseiros. The siyug of Torah is to organize your Torah, your wisdom of Torah, with all types of organizational aids, signs and symbols and numbers and so forth and so on. Because it's such a vast, deep chokhmah, it will be like a city without a map, or a country without a map, and you will get lost and you'll lose your wisdom. So therefore, siyug la Torah la meseiros. Then the next is your osher, your wealth. Your wealth, you must be very careful, because even though wealth is much easier to acquire than Torah, but it's very easy to lose, because it's not an internal part of a person, it's external. And there's no way that a person can guarantee that wealth should remain by he and his family, except by tying it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can guarantee it. And that's by giving a portion of it to the Almighty, a tenth to the Almighty, which will unify it all. And therefore, Siyug L'Osher is Maisers. Then comes your physical deeds. Now this is not by the nature of man. By nature of man, man is born to be Ra, to be evil. So this he has to work again on himself. But this is great discipline. He has to discipline himself. And this discipline, many times, he needs a siyog. He needs an extra help to win over the Yetzer Hara. He has to draw a clear line where he won't come near the Yetzer Hara. And then he brings Nedarim, for example, like making a vow. And then is his intelligence, his chokhmah, his intelligence matures during his age. And the siyog, the safeguard of this, is shtika, where he doesn't talk too much, but he's silent. And if a person will safeguard all of these kinyonim, then he will grow im yetz Hashem to be an odim sholem, an upright and a perfect man.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.